Living the Word Today.
So, every time we open this book, it is a fresh opportunity for God to talk to us. Let's make very sure that we are listening to what He wants to say to us.
LivingTheWordToday.com.
Look, the message of the Bible does indeed prepare us for eternity, but it also prepares us for the day we are currently living.
Welcome to Living the Word Today. We invite you to spend the next few minutes studying God's Word with your Bible teacher, Jesse Wagoner. Pastor Wagoner's desire for you is not only to understand God's truth, but to help you live it today. More resources can be found on our website, livingthewordtoday.com. Now it is time to open your heart and your Bible for your time in the Word.
Well, we all need to stretch. You know, God allows stretching experiences in our lives because He is not content for us to be where we've been. You know, life is full of these stretching experiences, whether it's going from crawling to walking or learning how to play well with others or choosing a life's path or overcoming a difficulty or a disability to work through the messiness of relationships, finding out whether we have a little or a lot in life, the challenges of growing older, the challenges of facing death. Life is full of stretching experiences, and God wants to stretch us. Today, as we go to the third chapter, beginning of verse 14 of Ephesians, we're going to look at a wonderful prayer of the Apostle Paul. It's been described as one of the most beautiful prayers of the Apostle Paul. As we look into this prayer, we're going to find out that God indeed wants to stretch you. Begin with just this simple idea. God is not content for you to remain as you have been. He wants you to change. He wants you to grow. He wants you to stretch. Now, this is accessed through prayer, and this prayer that we see here is one that we should involve ourselves in, and one that indeed we should pray often and frequently, both for ourselves and others. But first of all, let's just read the first section of this passage, and we're reading from Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. And I want to encourage you, if you have access to a Bible, the words will be here on the screen. You'll see the text of the Bible in front of you. But if you have a Bible, it's be very helpful for you to follow along, even as I'm commenting on the various phrases and concepts in the text. But let's read right now. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. We'll stop there. We'll look at the last two verses in just a bit. I want you to think with me as we think about this prayer. Now, God is not content for you to remain as you are. He wants us in this life experience to grow and become more like Him in character, to have more capacity, more resilience, all those things that we value and want in life. But God calls us to just stretch a little bit. Now, how do we interact with that? Well, first of all, we need to pray His desires for us. Pray His desires for you. And it's spelled out right here in these verses what His desires are. Now, by the way, this prayer is all of a spiritual focus. It's all about the person that we are, the person that we are in Christ, and the person that we should be in Jesus. So as we look into this text, we're going to look at it in light of the fact that yes, there are physical blessings and there are spiritual blessings. I gave you an assignment in our last couple of sessions, and the assignment last week was just to be getting together a list of blessings in your life, writing it down, because we're going to use that a little bit later here in the month of November. But that list of blessings should also include the spiritual blessing, the fact that we're loved by God, we've been made by God, we're created in His image, those sorts of things. So try to include the physical blessings. I have shelter, food, etc., but also the great spiritual blessings that God has showered upon us, and focus on them. So let's see what it is that He desires for you. Look at verse 14. It says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." So there's an attitude of submission and humility. We can pray in many different postures. Kneeling is one of those. But this particular one, he's saying, I'm really coming and asking God for something significant. And as he does, he bows his knees. Notice it says, to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he reflects on that concept of Father in the next verse, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Remember, the context of chapter 3, and really the end of chapter 2, is all about the Jews and the Gentiles being in the same church. So this is a subtle way of saying we have one Father. There is one eternal Father, and from Him, He is the Father of us all. whether Jew or Gentile. No matter who you are, you are a product of God's creative hand. And ultimately, in him, you have your origin. So that's the God to whom we go. And notice, first of all, what he asks for, okay? First of all, he asks that we, and for the believers in Ephesians, and by application, all believers of all times, should ask to grow stronger, strength. Verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Notice, it's in proportion to his riches. If someone who is a billionaire gave you $100, he would be giving you something out of his riches. If that billionaire gave you $1 million, he'd be giving you in proportion to his riches. So God gives us in proportion to his riches, according to the riches of his glory. God has more than enough resources, more than enough strength. He's God, in fact. He is a God who can do all things, a God who has done all things after the purpose of his own will. This God is who we ask. And notice what he says here in this verse 16, that he would grant you, he would give you, he'd present to you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. It's from his riches this power comes, this strength. We've looked at this word in the original earlier in this book. It's the word dunamis, from which we get dynamite or dynamic. It's that power of God, that energetic power of God. It's energy in action. It's not potential energy not in use. It is there for us. And he says, I want you to have this power. I want you to be strengthened. And notice the location of this strengthening, he says. Be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, deep down in the recesses of who we are, talking about our character, talking about our thought processes, talking about our motives, talking about all of the stuff that is us, all of our emotions and all that stuff deep within us, that God would change us literally from the inside out, that he would strengthen us from the inside out. His desire for you is that you would be resilient and strong and powerful from the inside out, that you would be a strong person. Most of us say at this point, that's really not what I'm feeling right now. I don't feel very strong. I don't feel very weak. But we need to do this. We need to ask God for these things he desires for us. And what's he desire? That you would be spiritually strong. And notice it says, it gives us how it is produced. It says this, verse 16 again, these three words, through his spirit. Here's the agency from which his strength comes. God has dropped his Holy Spirit in us as believers. And the Holy Spirit is one of the members of the triune God. God himself has curled up and come to live within us. And that power is available. Now he wants to infuse that power from himself to us in our inner man, to shore up our emotions, to settle our thinking, to improve our character, to chip away at our prejudices, to tear down the strongholds of fear, to pull down those obstacles of disobedience and rebellion, and to bring us more and more and more and more to be like Christ in our character. He wants to give us that kind of strength. So you might say, well, how do I access it? Well, this is not a bullet list. This is not a list of ABCs. You do 1, 2, 3, and you get this. It is simply we ask God for it. So here's what I want you to do, and here's what I want to discipline myself to do. Ask these things, and we've looked at just the first one, for others in your life and for yourself. Lord, give me inner strength. Down there in the depths of my inner being, my thoughts and all that, all of my emotions and all of these things that trouble me and twist me and turn me and guide me, you apply your strength to that area of life. And then pray that for others, because Paul was praying it for the Ephesian believers. Pray that for your spouse. Pray that for your family. Pray that for your children. Pray that for your parents. Pray that for your brothers and sisters. Pray that for the family of God. Pray that for the leaders of our country. Pray that they would be strengthened by might in the inner man through the Spirit of God. So I'm going to challenge you. Here's your assignment for this week. I want you to pray this prayer. You don't maybe have to maybe have it open in front of you and read it. You may not have to use exactly these words, but use these requests as a template of how to pray for yourself and pray for others. Pray for strength. All we can do, because this is God's work, it says there in that verse, it is through the Holy Spirit. So God will do it. God is available. God is strong enough. All we can do is ask for it, and in some sense, cooperate with it by living in faith. May God give us that joy, that blessing. Now, look at verse 17. Not only do we ask for strength, but we ask that we may grow indeed deeper. He says this, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you being rooted and grounded in love. We'll stop there. The phrase continues on to verse 18. I want to just take a break there. Notice what he says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts. The word dwell is an interesting one. It literally means not just to be present, but it means to be at home. He says, may Christ be at home in your hearts. May you know that He's there. May you welcome Him in. May you have fellowship back and forth. May you listen to His voice. May He, and you know He will listen to you if you will offer your voice to Him. He says, I want you to grow deep. And how we grow deep, we know that this Savior of ours, yes, He was here long ago. He died on the cross to pay sin's price. But this Savior is a Savior who wants to be at home in us. He says this again, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. We just have to believe it. We just have to accept it. He is there. Sometimes we act like God is a million miles away when He is right here within us. He says, I pray for you. Pray this prayer for yourself and others. Let this be your spiritual discipline. And as we pray what He desires for us, and as we seek to cooperate it by faith, we believe it, we act upon it, we think about it, we encourage others in it. As we do that, we're going to grow deep. Now, He gives a couple of metaphors of the depth of our growth here in verse 17. It says, being rooted and grounded. Now, rooted is an architectural metaphor. It's a picture drawn up. A plant has to grow. If a plant is going to be successful and strong, the roots have to go deep down into the soil, so it's not blown over when the first storm comes, that it gets down where it can find the moisture and the nutrients that are down there. There's a particular place in our yard where a tree was cut down a few years ago, and it sort of was a bare spot. The stump was ground out. But because of all the roots and all the stuff still underground, I've had a lot of trouble getting grass to grow in that spot. I've seeded it. I put soil on it. The grass will spring up, but then when the summer heat comes, it sort of withers away. Why? Because the roots can't get down in the soil because of all that wood still down there. It hasn't completely decomposed yet. We need to live, a deeper life. May we tap deep into God's truth. May our roots go sound. He said, I pray that you would be this person that would be deep, that you would know Christ is dwelling in your hearts. It's by faith you accept that, and that your roots would go deep, and that we would be rooted in Him. When fearful things come, we just come back to God, you're with me. You didn't go anywhere. You're still in control. I go into that deep truth. When we have a decision to make, should I do A or should I do B? What should I do? We tap deep into the fact that God in the person of Christ is with us. We have the Spirit of God. We have the Savior, the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God. We've already talked about God the Father. And it's interesting how Paul constructs this to remind us that all that God is available to us. We need to pray that we would grow deep. And he uses one more term in verse 17, and grounded. He used an agricultural metaphor. Now he uses an architectural metaphor. Grounded means having a firm foundation, a solid foundation. He says, I want you to be grounded on this foundation. What? That Christ is dwelling in your hearts. Accept that by faith. Know that He's there. I pray for you, Ephesians, that you would know this, that you would be able to understand, as it says in 17, that Christ may dwell there, be at home, really have interaction with Him. He says, if you'll do that, you're going to be rooted deep. You're going to be grounded on a solid foundation. Remember Jesus told the story about a man who built a structure on sand and one who built it on a stronger foundation, and the storms comes, and you know the rest of the story. The necessity of a firm foundation is what we need. What firmer foundation can we have than to know that we are loved by God, that we have been saved by Jesus Christ, and that we have been empowered by the Spirit of God? What a great truth that is, and may God just help us to accept that in faith. So what do we pray for? We pray His desires for us. Number one, ask to grow stronger. Secondly, ask that we may grow deeper. And then verses 18, 19, we must ask that we would understand more, that we would understand more of this. Look at verse 18. May be able to comprehend with all the saints. So this rooted and grounded in love, He loves us. He's there. Rooted and grounded in love. With all this dwelling in there, and through that process, this sort of builds upon itself. They're not separate points. They're kind of stacking on top of each other points. May be able to comprehend with all the saints. The word comprehend really means to grasp onto something, get a firm grip on it. Sometimes we say, you know, that concept, I'm having a hard time grasping it, or I really have grasped that opportunity, or grasped that understanding, I should say. So we need to grasp this. Pray that we would get a firm hold on this reality. And what is it we get a firm hold on? Well, it's these things. And here's this reality, he says. That we may get a firm handle firm hold with all the saints, all the believers. This is not just the super spiritual. This is all believers, okay? So with all the saints, what is the width and length and depth and height? And notice all these different spatial references he makes. So he's pushing out the boundaries. I want to read a quote for you that I found from a person that I love his writings. His name is Tom Constable. We're writing on this verse. He says this: when believers accept Jesus Christ's revelation of the mystery of the church, they are able to comprehend, grasp, behold, that God's love is broad enough to embrace both Jew and Gentile in the church. They can appreciate it, that it is long enough to stretch from eternity to eternity. They can see that it is high enough to raise both the Jews and the Gentiles into the heavenly places. They can understand that it is deep enough to rescue both kinds of people from sin's degradation and from Satan's grip. Well, that's in the context of Jew and Gentile, but we can apply that in any number of ways. Let's just think our way through it. Breadth, that we would understand the breadth. You think about this. How broad is God's control? Well, he controls what's going on at the furthest galaxy that we can't even see with the best telescopes and instruments. He's there. He is at work even as close as the neighbor next door or even in the intimacy of our own hearts. He is there. There's nowhere that you can go that you can be outside of his influence, his control, and especially his help. He says, I want you to know this. I want you to get a handle on this, how broad God's love and God's involvement is. Then he talks about length, okay? You know, we have partings and meetings in life. And usually the meetings are more pleasurable than the partings. But we have to say goodbye to people we love at times. But you think about the length of it. We are never, ever apart from God. In this life, his mercy and goodness, his goodness and mercy will pursue us all the days of our life. David wrote in Psalm 23, verse 6. And then he says this, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All the way out there in eternity. We're always with God. So the length, there is no end to it. It's breadth, he's everywhere. And then he mentions about height. Whatever our conception of God is, it's beyond us. The amazing thing about his love and his care and how about this, that God knows everything there is to know. Sometimes we think we're really smart and we've figured a few things out in life. But the reality is we know so little. And when we contemplate that God knows everything, we don't even know how much we don't know. But you understand, God knows everything. To see the height of the magnificence of this God. He says, I want you to understand more. I pray that you would understand more. May we pray this for ourselves. May we pray this for others. Lord, help me to understand more. Help me to know about the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. All these examples that we throw out there and the depth of who he is, that he is all these things. Now go back to our verse for just a moment, verse 18. The length and depth and height. And then it says in verse 19, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. It says, I want you, may you understand more about the love of Almighty God. May you know how loved you are. This love that makes no sense. This love, as he says in this verse, that he says this, says it this way, to the love of God, which passes knowledge. Our circuits of our brain are gonna flip. We can't understand. Why would he love us? When we were in open rebellion against him, we were his enemies because of our degraded heart. We were dead in trespasses and sins, as it says back in chapter 2. But he loved us with a great love. He loved us enough to give us his only begotten Son to be our Savior. The reality is he loved you enough, and he loved you enough to save you if you will come to him in faith. Maybe you're watching today and you've never trusted him as your Savior. Maybe there's something in the way. Maybe you're afraid of what other people will think. Or maybe you think, well, I just can't be good enough. Wipe all that off the slate. Wipe that off the chalkboard. He loves you. He will save you if you will come to him in faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. If you need help with that decision, we'd be ready to assist you with that. We'd love to get in contact with you and we'll share with you how you can do that. But we would love to see you come to Christ. Don't put that off. Why? Because he loves you with a love that passes all understanding. It passes knowledge. And then he says this little bit about understanding more. This is great stuff. He says this, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That we'd be full of him. That there would not be only a certain percentage lacking. Now, if you have a cell phone handy, I don't want you to go scrolling on it and get all distracted. But there's one thing on your cell phone that you have, and that is simply somewhere on there it's going to tell you how much battery life you have left. Right now, I'm in pretty good shape, 93%. I'm only 7% down. By the end of the day, when I go to bed tonight, it'll probably be down in the 50s, okay? So we don't want to run out of power. But if you were to have a device that said, how full am I of God? What would the percentage say on the screen? What would it say? 25% of the time, I'm really resting in Him, trusting in Him, praying. 10%, 5%, 50%. I only use that to say, let your thought life be a little diagnostic here. Because here's God's desire, and this is what we need to pray for ourselves and for others, that we would be filled with the fullness of God. We'd have a full charge of Him. Because God is not content for you to remain as you are. He wants to stretch you and change you. How do we do that? First of all, we pray what He desires for you. Pray what He desires for you. Pray for others and yourself. What do you pray for? Ask to grow stronger. Ask that we would grow deeper. Ask that we would understand more. So I challenge you, take this prayer and put it in your life and pray this regularly. Now, a couple more things we look at, and I want you to look now in verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Not only do we ask for these things He desires for us, but rest in His ability to change people like you and to change even people like me. That's a mind-blowing thought when you think about it. But it says, now unto Him who is able. God has the ability. He indeed is able to change. And you might say, well, I've got a long way to go. Well, maybe you could reflect back. You know, there's that old saying that sort of, I think it's been put into a song, if I recall. But it simply says something like this. I'm not who I want to be. I'm not who I'm going to be. But I thank God that I'm not who I used to be. With that in mind, we have made some progress. May God help us to make progress. How do we do that? We pray what He desires for us, and we try to cooperate with that as much as we can. So pray that prayer. And secondly, we rest in His ability. This is an act of faith. This is a transaction of faith, that we come to God and we say to Him, Lord, I know that You're able. You are strong enough. You can bring me into a place where I can indeed be stretching and changing. So we say He is able. God is able to do. He's unbounded. It's guided by His amazing love. And if you look at this verse, it says, one more time, He's able to do what? Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. So we ask, we seek, we come before Him, we think about what we'd like to see happen in our lives. He can do more than that. He's not only able, He is more than able. Exceedingly abundantly. God can do, when we pray to Him, God loves us giving a bigger, stronger, more glorious answer than anything that we've asked for. Now, so we rest in His ability, rest in His ability to change you. Ask for what He desires, rest in His ability to change you. And number three, we just seek it all for His glory. We seek His glory. Verse 21, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. And we say amen to that as well, as He says amen at the end of this beautiful prayer. So we need to seek His glory. In other words, our lives are not about ourselves. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Him. So we need to check our motives. Am I just living for me or am I living for Him? May God help us to live for Him. And secondly, we need to accept His methods. Sometimes stretching hurts. Sometimes the experiences are not what we would choose. But we trust Him. We lean on Him. And we say, Lord, whatever You take me through, whatever, however You use me, it's all for Your glory. You see, He is not content for you to remain as you are. He wants us to pray this prayer for ourselves and others. He wants us to seek His glory. He wants us to trust in His ability, rest in His ability through faith. He is not content for you to remain as you are. Question, are you? Are you content to remain as you are? I hope not. I trust not. So what do? We come back to these truths and we rest upon them. We come back to these truths and we say, Lord, it's for Your glory, whatever You want. And we pray this prayer for ourselves and others and seek to cooperate with it as we live a life of trusting and obeying. May God bless you, and may God bless all of us as we seek to be stretched by Him and become the people He wants us to be.
Thank you for joining us for Living the Word today. We appreciate your sharing in this study of the Scriptures. Also, be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform so you will not miss a single episode. And thanks, too, for your prayers and for letting others know of this ministry as we seek to be living the Word today. We would love to have your feedback and to hear from you, and the best way to contact us is through our website, livingthewordtoday.com. Until next time, may His blessing be yours.